father was a boy. Accessible only by rickety wooden stairs fixed to a rough stone wall, the cellar was off limits to everybody except my grandfather. This was his world. Dangling unconcealed from the wall was a faded red enema bag, a sign of the misplaced confidence Jack Angus Warner had in the fact that even his grandchildren would not dare to trespass. To its right was a warped white medicine cabinet, inside of which were a dozen old boxes of generic mail-order condoms on the verge of disintegration, a full rusted can of feminine deodorant spray, a handful of the latex finger cots that doctors use for rectal exams, and a Friar Tuck toy that popped a boner when its head was pushed in. Behind the stairs was a shelf with about 10 paint cans, which, I later discovered, were each filled with 20 16mm porno films. Crowning it all was a small square window. It looked like stained glass, but it was actually stained with a gray grime, and gazing through it really felt like looking up out of the blackness of hell. What intrigued me most in the cellar was the workbench. It was old and crudely made, as if it had been constructed centuries ago. It was covered with dark orange shag carpeting that looked like the hair on a Raggedy Ann doll, except it had been soiled from years of having dirty tools laid on it. A drawer had been awkwardly built into the bench, but it was always locked. On the rafters above was a cheap full-length mirror, the kind with a wooden frame meant to be nailed to the door. But it was nailed to the ceiling for whatever reason. I could only imagine why. This was where my cousin Chad and I began our daily and progressively more daring intrusions into my grandfather's secret life. I was a scrawny 13-year-old with freckles and a bowl cut courtesy of my mother's shears. He was a scrawny 12-year-old with freckles and buck teeth. We wanted nothing more than to become detectives, spies, or private investigators when we grew up. It was in trying to develop the requisite skills and stealth that we were first exposed to all this iniquity. At first, all we wanted to do was sneak downstairs and spy on Grandfather without him knowing. But once we started discovering everything that was hidden there, our motives changed. Our after-school forays into the cellar became half teenage boys wanting to find pornography to jerk off to, and half a morbid fascination with our grandfather. Nearly every day, we made new and grotesque discoveries. I wasn't very tall, but if I balanced carefully on my grandfather's wooden chair, I could reach into the space between the mirror and the ceiling. There, I found a stack of black and white bestiality pictures. They weren't from magazines, just individually numbered photographs that looked like they had been handpicked from a mail-order catalog. There were early 70s photos of women straddling giant horse dicks and sucking pig's dicks, which looked like soft, fleshy corkscrews. I had seen Playboy and Penthouse before, but these photographs were in another class altogether. It wasn't just that they were obscene. They were surreal. All the women were beaming real, innocent, flower child smiles as they sucked and fucked these animals. There were also fetish magazines like Water Sports and Black Beauty stashed behind the mirror. Instead of stealing a whole magazine, we would take a razor blade and carefully cut out certain pages. Then we'd fold them into tiny squares and hide them underneath the large white rocks that framed my grandmother's gravel driveway. Years later, we went back to find them, and they were still there, but frayed, deteriorated, and covered with earthworms and slugs. One afternoon in the fall, as Chad and I sat around my grandmother's dining room table after a particularly uneventful day at school, we resolved to find out what was inside the locked workbench drawer. Always hell-bent on stuffing her brood with food, my grandmother, Beatrice, was force-feeding us meatloaf and jello, which was mostly water. She came from a rich family and had tons of money in the bank, but she was so cheap that she'd try to make a single jello package last for months. She used to wear knee-high hose rolled down around her ankles and odd gray wigs that obviously didn't fit. People always told me I resembled her because we were both skinny with the same narrow facial structure. Nothing in the kitchen had changed as long as I'd been eating her inedible food there. Above the table hung a yellowing picture of the Pope in a cheap brass frame, an imposing-looking family tree tracing the Warners back to Poland and Germany, where they were called the Wanamakers, was plastered on the wall nearby. And crowning it all was a large, hollow wooden crucifix with a gold Jesus on top.